Good morning, everyone. Test, test. Hello, hello. Hello. Does this work? Test, test. Good morning. Good morning. Sorry about that. Today, does this work? Today, hello, hello. Hello, hello. Everyone. Oh, that's better. Sorry about that. Today is our Breaking of Bread Sunday. We're going to do several things today. We're going to share a meal together. We're going to celebrate the Lord sacrificing himself for us that we can have hope. And one of the things we do once a quarter in this day is we share different stories, people who about what God is doing. So some different people are going to share up, or come up and share what God is doing and something they're excited about. So, but first we're going to worship together. And so why don't we stop and pray and ask God to bless our time together. God, thank you that we have a reason for hope, that you care about us, that you came for us. Thank you that we can gather and sing to you and worship you and care about each other. I pray that you would be here and lead us in your son's name. Amen.
It was a great time had by all, and we did a lot of great things over there. And I was praying to the Lord. I'm like, you know what? Last year, Lord, we raised like $30 in spare change. That was pretty cool. Can we like double that? That would be really cool. And I turned in the donations and wrote them a check for over $100 in spare change. So thank you guys so much for your involvement and commitment. If you placed a giant mason jar over there, I still have it. So you can come see me and I'll give you your mason jar. But that's it. Praise the Lord. All right, Mike, what else is going on that we can give the Lord praise?
Well, welcome, guys. Let's first introduce a few announcements, personal announcements. We have visitors here from long off. We have Josh Fulmer here visiting from Denver. Raise your hand up. And we have a college student that came back to visit us this weekend. She's only been gone a couple weeks, but Kelsey. And I think from what I heard from a little bird, there's a birthday today. I think it's Janelle's 21st birthday. So, all right. So why don't you just stand up, greet each other, and greet those people that I mentioned as well, if you're around them, and then we'll continue on. We can move this microphone.
No, I want to put it right up here. Or what?
Yeah, that's good. Give us a little high. Okay. Does that work? Okay, cool.
Okay, excellent. Well, yeah, we need to remove this microphone.
Oh, I had some interesting ideas following our conversation. So.
Awesome.
Today may not be the right day to talk. Another time to talk.
Yes, please. Let's. I was thinking about the other day. I'm like, I wonder what Mike is brainstorming.
Yeah. Definitely okay. Got some ideas. So.
See, I'll try.
All right. All right. Why don't you have a seat? Let's see. So, I don't think they're here. Yeah, we'll have to do a high school or junior high graduation at another time when Maria's here. But let's see. Today is a great day because not only do you get to hear stories of encouragement, but there's food. So you get a full potluck lunch today. So please hang around. It should be a great time of fellowship. We're doing this once a quarter this year. It's just a great time to break bread all together, to hear stories of encouragement and to fellowship over a meal. So hang around after the service, and there's lots of food and different potluck type things to eat. We have the big news coming up is the Awana kickoff this Wednesday at 7, and we're excited about that. In our as we've been traveling and stuff, Dean's been organizing a lot of pre-Awana outreach, and I think some of the main people participating was Dean and Staningers and Rebecca Haworth, and I may be forgetting a few people, but I know Darlita and Amy went out yesterday as well, and Nathan, and so it was great. So we visited all the people that came to Awana last year and visited all the kids camp participants that are around here in the area and re-invited them personally. I know one little story that I was encouraged about was we had these three boys at a little house a couple blocks from here that came to the kids camp, and it's the first time they've ever done anything with us, and they were all at the kids camp, and then in the middle of the kids camp I was in the fellowship hall, and one of the teens at the teen conference said, "What's that man doing looking in the window?" And it was this man with a hat on, kind of an old-fashioned hat, and he rode his bike over, and I went out and greeted him, and he said, I came home from work, and there's no noise, and I'm like, where's my kids? And my wife said, they're down there at the church, and so he rode his bike to see what's going on with his boys, and he and I walked over and saw that the boys were having a good time, and we got to chat, and anyway, so Barbara and I revisited them yesterday after the prayer meeting, and the boys ran to the door, and we told the, I think they already knew about Awana, but we handed them a flyer, and the mother's like, yeah, they all want to go, and they're all going to go, and so be praying for that. I think there's a lot of families that we connected with this last year and through the kids camp are now all ready and rearing to go back at Awana this Wednesday, so be praying for fruitful time. The Lord's provided abundance of leaders, really encouraging how, even though we've had college students leave and different things like that, the Lord's provided to fill the needs, and so we're encouraged about what's going to happen there. So Wednesday, be praying for that outreach just as it launches Wednesday at 7. The only other announcement is that our region is having a little college conference down at Purdue. Purdue hosts this in mid-October, and there's some brochures in the front foyer. And this college conference for college students is going to feature Tom Short. And if anybody know, he just released a book about his experiences on doing evangelism on college campus. And he's a great guy. You just give him a microphone and he just talks for hours. And it's very engaging and inspirational. And that's his gift. That's what he should be doing, is talking in front of young people about the Lord. So pray for that college conference coming up. Other than that, don't forget the potluck, and now's the time in our service where we'll have our regular offering. Sunday school kids, you can go to Sunday school, and then we'll continue on.
You know, sometimes I think of God, I don't know if I think too rationally, but I think of him, you know, you read these stories, and he seems like the God who judges, the God who creates, like this faraway person, the person you've heard about but you don't really know. But God is personal. He's personal. And what we're going to do today is we're going to share stories of how God's been involved in our lives. And so we have different people who are going to come up and share, and we didn't tell them or pick a topic and say, you should share on this. We just asked them to think about how has God been working? What have they seen him do in the past couple weeks in their lives? And so that's what we're going to do today, and then we're going to break bread together. And so not to put you on the spot, but I created the order, and Darlita, I actually picked you to go first. Is that okay? Tons of pressure. Tons of pressure. So it is, for some people, honest, it is hard to speak in front of others. So if you could encourage them. And Darlita, I was going to have you come up. We're going to stand right here and give you the microphone and give you a few minutes. So thank you.
Hi. I might have to speak louder, so if I don't speak loud enough, go like this. most of you, a little closer. Okay. Most of you know I've had a lot of health problems in the past years, and I'm not going to go into all of that, other than that every time I did have health problems and hurt a lot, especially when I wanted to do something really bad, I was down hurting that I didn't come to to church, or I missed many activities. And I just kept asking the Lord, especially also was, okay, what is your purpose for me in this at this time? How can I serve and be a witness for you? And I would suffer migraines and many other things, but like I said, I just, at that point, I was just feeling, okay, my life is over. I'm going to be this way for the rest of my life. And I got to the point where I accepted that. But then I started praying more, reading my Bible more. But also there were some kind of verses that helped me. Like I said, I was retired, and I didn't know how I was going to deal with my health. But Joshua 1:9 says, I have not commanded you. Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. And that helped me a lot. And I actually have a journal that has that verse on it. Another verse that I can't remember where it's from, but he said that he will return your health. Whatever you've lost, he will return it to you. And it may not be the way you think it should be, but it's going to be what he thinks it should be. And I remember when Robin was up here and she shared the God's voice kept saying, step out of the water. Well, I added something to that bottom. Don't be afraid. God is with you. And I wrote this and I put it so I would see it a lot. This is, God is my healer. No matter what my body is telling me, I trust God to heal me, to bless me with vibrant health and overflowing joy. That is posted on my refrigerator and a few other places, because every time I felt that I couldn't move or whatever. Another verse that comes to me is, and this is, I love this verse for a long time. It's Isaiah 46:3-4. You whom I have upheld since you were conceived and have carried since birth, even to your old age and gray hairs, I am he. I am he who will sustain you. I have made you, and I will carry you and sustain you and restore you. And I just am so thankful that I can say now that I started a part-time job. And Lord is helping me walk more. And Amy and another friend started saying, let's go for a walk. A couple times I was so sore I couldn't move. But now I started doing more. And so don't give up. Don't be discouraged. God is there. He's not going to let go of you.
Thank you. As you get a little older, sometimes it's hard to admit how hard and what a struggle life can be. One of the things that encouraged me about Darlita is she has really gone through some really difficult health trials. But no matter where she was, no matter how much strength she had, she wanted to use it for good. She wrote me this beautiful note about just how she appreciated the church and how she appreciated this to encourage me. And it was just handwritten, and I kept it. I go, this is so good, because I just needed some encouragement. I keep it on my workbench. I still have it. It was such a, but she always, no matter what strength she has, she wants to use it for good. It's so encouraging to me. So next, we wanted to have Dana come up and share. He's been sharing some things he's been learning with me, and I just thought it was very insightful what God's teaching him. So let's give him a few minutes.
I got the deer in the headlights thing again. Okay. I want to give a little bit of backstory. Most all of you know that I lost Johnny last year, and I was struggling so hard just to believe that God was good and all that stuff. And when we started coming here, just being around family, you all are family. We are the body of Christ, and you all have just been pouring into us. Anyway, God has been talking to me lately more clearly than I've heard in ages, and he talks to me, and it's not like I hear God say, "Hey, you," you know, no, but through he brings things to mind, scriptures. You know, there's a scripture that says, "I have hidden thy word in my heart, so I might not sin against thee." And when you have God's word in your heart, the Holy Spirit can use that. And so he's been doing that. He's been reminding me of scriptures. And, you know, through raising my son, I didn't have a father figure growing up. I had abusive drunks and, so I didn't know what a loving father looked like. And through the process of me loving my son, God shows me how he loves us, but just so much more. And, I just want to talk about how good God's faithfulness is. When Johnny had passed, we weren't really plugged into a church, and I was struggling so much in my faith and just trying to believe that God was good, and God is showing himself faithful. You know, God is so faithful. God is so good. And, if you listen to him, he'll talk to you. That's about it. That's about it.
Thank you. Thank you. I always like talking to Dana. He's always sincere. He's always sincere in what he says. So, we were going to have Barbie come up and share. She had something exciting happen in her life that she wanted to share today.
Really wasn't my life, but someone else's life. Okay, so this is a long-term story. So Jonathan's about 20, and we're going to call this girl Charity Hunt. It's a fictional name. So Charity has been a classmate of Jonathan's since about sixth grade, and Charity is an outspoken atheist and also a very bright girl who really liked to stir things up on controversial topics. So basically, fast forward to high school, she's alienated most of those people around her. But I'm intrigued because I kind of like those little underdog people, you know. So she's in several classes with Jonathan. She's in orchestra with Daniel. And she takes cello lessons at the same studio where Elizabeth takes cello lessons, which happens to be owned by a Wheaton College professor. And her cello teacher happens to be a committed Christian. So, after school, we would have Charity Hunt stories, what color was her hair this week, what outrageous things did she say in class, and at the same time trying to just, encourage my boys to be kind regardless of what crazy things she says, to really be Christ's hands and feet to her, talking with the cello teacher and, praying for her. So just beginning to see that the Lord was putting many believers in Charity's life. So we'll go to fall of her senior year. Too many pages, too many notes. Fall of her senior year. So it's autumn. Daniel and I are driving up Gary Avenue to get him a haircut, and we stop at a stoplight by that Savers, and there is Charity in a chicken suit, waving around, and she looks at us and is just like, people I know see me in a chicken suit, And so we went on to the haircuts. But, I thought about the verse in Proverbs that says, this is the New Living Translation, giving a gift can open doors. So after we left our haircuts, Daniel's haircut, We got a smoothie because we didn't remember. We didn't know. Does she like coffee? I don't know. Some people don't. So smoothie seems safe. So we tracked her down in the store, and we're like, Charity, we brought you the smoothie because I said this because, you know, it's weird, right? So I'm like, I brought you the smoothie because I think it takes a lot of guts to stand out on the road in a chicken suit and, you know. So here you go. So she graduated at the end of the first semester. Again, she's just a very bright girl. And she went on some sort of community service trip to a country in Africa. And she had a blog. So, of course, you know, Elizabeth says I'm stalking her, but I'm reading her blog. You know, and she's surrounded now. She's in this foreign country, completely surrounded by committed Christians who just love her. And she got really sick. They cared for her, you know, the whole nine yards. So I'm just watching going, God is clearly at work in this young lady's life, right? So then she comes back to the high school, and we know how high school kids are because we were all high school kids, or we will be high school kids, for a surprise visit. And unbeknownst to the students, she is actually hiding behind the piano in the music theory class. And the teacher says, I've got a surprise, you know. And so the students, whom she has alienated and said, you know, terrible things to, the teacher actually said later, I know she said terrible things to all of us. But so they start talking about her and how they don't like her and how they hope it's not her, you know, and all of these things. And she is hiding behind the piano hearing this, you know. And so I don't remember exactly what she said. You can ask Jonathan. But she pops up behind the piano and was like, well, you know, this is awkward. And she leaves. And, you know, then the teacher talks to them about being kind and what have you. And so, you know, all this is happening. The cello teacher and I are continuing to talk, you know, and pray for her. And then she goes away to college, and she comes back. And next thing you know, she's Jonathan posted some, you know, philosophical thing on his page. And she says, you know, Charity, Christian here, and we're like, what, you know. So then of course I have to go immediately to the cello teacher to find out, you know, do you know anything more about this, and otherwise I'm just telling you she's saying she's a Christian, you know. And turns out that the cello teacher had run into her on the train, and they had talked, and yeah, she's going to church, she's reading her Bible, she's very excited. So we aren't exactly sure of all of what happened in the Charity Hunt story, but I just thought it was very encouraging to see God take this young lady who was so vehemently opposed to him and work in her life through many, many avenues, many people, just to love her and draw her to himself.
Well, that's a good transition to what I wanted to share, because and God arranges that sometimes. I am, you know, I have this little side business that I'm working on and trying to sell videos. And one of the things that surprised me is that how much I thought, well, I'll just do a little website and people will call me. Hey, come work for me. You know, I'll pay you. Like, okay, you know, how hard is that? I can do a website. But it's taken a lot more sales than I ever really thought to, and I have to show people what it is and tell them why they need this, and they do need it, they just don't know that they need it. And and when I show them, they go, wow, that's really good. But I have to show it to them, and that's really surprised me. And I feel like God's using that in my life to show me how even the spiritual world works in planting seeds, because I'll talk to people or plant seeds and spread out, and sometimes it'll take months. It'll take 6-7 months. There's one realtor I'm talking to, and I talked to him a while ago. Oh, yeah, let's try this. You talked to me 6 months ago. And I go, wow, some of this is just laying the groundwork for the future. And I think sometimes I forget because I'm impatient and I want things to happen right now and I want results right now. And the spiritual world doesn't work that way.
in that we're planting seeds and God causes the growth. And so I think, boy, I've just, even though I know that in my head, I've not always understood that practically. And I think God's showing me some things there just through how business and relationships work. So there's a guy I've known. I worked in construction for 20 years, and he is the owner of a equipment company. He rents equipment out to construction companies, and I call him up for the business, and I say, "Hey, I haven't talked to him in 10 years," and I said, "Hey, I want to meet with you, and for this and whatever." And I thought, "Wow, that would be good." And I was driving down there, and he finally agreed to get together. And I thought, a good goal would be not if I have business from this or not, but to share about who God is with him. Because I don't know. I haven't seen him for 10 years. That'd be the best goal out of this. And I thought, that's really one of my personal goals, is that I help everyone that I meet to understand who God is better. And that I would help them take a step forward. And that's one of the things I try to do. And, sometimes I don't feel like doing that. Sometimes I do it with some people, but I'm not up for it. And I go, but I hope that I can do that with each person. So I'm driving down there, and we're talking, meet in the office, and meet. It's a family-run business and the whole thing. And he tells me, he says, oh, and he's got a bunch of grandkids now, and we're talking about people, and he says, "Oh yeah, we're going to church now." And I go, "Really?" And I didn't know that. I go, "That's really good. That's so encouraging." What church are you going to? "Oh, it's a big church." He told me the name, big church in the far west suburbs. And, "Oh, that's great. That's great." And so, and this is something I do all the time. And you may think it's too forward, but I do it all the time now because it's just a bad habit. But I said, "Okay, let's say you're driving to your church and you get run over by one of these pieces of equipment that you rent out and you die in the accident. You die, and you stand before God and he asks you, why should I let you into heaven?" So he's going to a big church and his whole family's going, and that's great. And I ask him this question because it reveals where your faith is. If I suddenly, unexpectedly die, and God says, "Why should I let you hear?" And there's really only two answers. There's the right answer and the wrong answer. There's one answer of, I trust that God has paid for all of my inadequacies, all of my shortcomings, because I'm not good enough to stand before you. That's the right answer. I have faith in God. But we're going to celebrate here in a few minutes. I have faith in him. The other answer is, the most common answer in America is, I'm a pretty good person. I help a lot of people. I've been good to my children and my grandchildren. And a lot of people, compared to each other, are pretty good. And I agree. He's a nice guy. He's nicer than most of the guys I know, honest. But it's the wrong answer, because what that's saying is, I have faith in myself. I have faith in my works. And I realize, I go, wow, here we are talking about this. I go, this may be the most important conversation. He is already going. His whole family is going to a church. But he may not understand what personal faith is. I just want to encourage you, and as encouragement to me, I says, these conversations that someone, you might help someone realize that they need a personal faith. And I tell them, I say, "Hey, I misunderstood that for 20 years. I went to church on and off in the winter. In the summer I went to the beach. So we weren't real serious. But I didn't understand that there was a personal faith involved." And I thought, well, it's important for me to see that. And I realized, I said, I want to follow up on this conversation in the future as we talk. And the same for you. You may meet someone you get a chance to share with, and we're going to celebrate that. But I wanted to share that because it's so easy to think, what do I know? What can I say? What can I do? And God wants the people to understand that the best, the only hope they have is a personal faith in Jesus Christ that he cares about them. You are important to them. So anyway, I wanted to share that. That is the end of our testimony time. How do I say this? Ever get the impression that people want to be done with a conversation? They don't tell you that, but they say, oh, it's nice to see you. And so, you know, I'd been there for an hour, hour and a half, you know, and relationships are long-term things. And so, anyway, I don't always try to finish the conversation there. We're trying to learn where people are. But he was kind of done. I can tell that. You know, I want to be done. I want to move on. And I'd been there. So he had other things he wanted to do, and that's okay. That's okay, because I'll see him again. But I know what to ask. Remember that question I asked you about next time? And so it's not always the right time to share the gospel. It's the right time to plant a seed for the future. So that's what I want to do personally, is what does God want me to do here today? So he said, well, I said, he said, let's talk again later. Anyway, we are going to move on to, we're going to have the music team come up and do a song together, and we're going to gather to worship together this coming of God, that God recognized that for us, and that we understand that. So I'm going to turn this back over to the band.
We're going to have Earl come up, and he's going to lead us in a time of fellowship and of breaking of bread together.
I saw this bumper sticker that impressed me. It said, ice cream cone, right? There we go. It's not vanilla. Oh, well. We'll make do. This bumper sticker that I saw said, don't go to church. It said, be the church. And I had a great example of that this week. I'm in the process of destroying my clubhouse, also known as a garage, which is a great example of trying to stick 10 pounds into a 5-pound bag. Anyway, Monday, Dean and Aaron and Kellen and Nathan came on over to help me move a shed so that we'll have room for the new construction. And then again on Wednesday, Dean and Robin came on over. Dean to help me be a pyromaniac. And Robin to encourage Paula. And that's why we're here. I mean, you can get saved on a mountaintop under a tree, looking at a lake or whatever. But when it comes down to it, we need each other. We need to be able to lean on each other when we're in time of crisis. And we need to be there for others to lean on us when they're hurting. And the Lord tells us in Jeremiah 29:11-13, I know the plans that I have for you, plans to prosper you, not to destroy you or to hurt you. And if you humble yourself and seek me, in 2 Chronicles, he'll heal the land and restore us. So be the church. Be there when someone needs you. Now, what we're here today is to celebrate Jesus and all that he did and accomplished for us in coming to this planet and not only teaching us how to live, but also to be our sacrificial lamb to suffer for us, to die for us. And that God accepted that sacrifice and raised him from the dead. And so, in 1 Corinthians, Paul explains what happened that night. And he says, "For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces and said, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this to remember me as often as you drink it. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until the time he comes again.'" That's a serious moment. It's time to reflect and look at your faith, where you are with the Lord. If there's anything between you and him, this is the time to remove it, to seek him, and to honor him. Now I'm going to pray, and then as you feel moved, you go ahead and pray. We'll go ahead and do that, and then afterwards we'll come on up and get the symbols. Father God, Lord, I just thank you for your blessings, your steadfastness, your love, and your sovereign possession of all that is. You are the creator, Lord, that you gave Jesus to take our place so that we can have life with you eternally. Lord, I just pray that in all things we bring glory to your name, and we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Thank you for the gift of your Son and all that he accomplished on our behalf. And also, Father, we lift up all those who stand in harm's way this morning because of this storm. We pray that they would even come to you as a result of this. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, then come on up and get the symbols and just return to your seats. You know. Thank you.
Let's go ahead and stand up together as you meditate on the works of the Lord, and we're going to sing another song.